Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man here on Wednesday, March the 16th of 2022. And I am your host tonight, as usual, coming to you live from here in Northern Michigan where I live. And there was something that has come to my mind, and that is 2 years ago today, we were essentially plunged into tyranny, overreach by powers that be. Governors all around America, including here in Michigan. That was when we had started the whole 15 days to slow the spread. And now it's nearing 750 days, though we're not locked down like we were at that time. We just have to keep cursing COVID and the spirits behind it. You mind getting my headphones? I need those. I don't have those at this minute. They're out here somewhere. And so, sorry about that, listeners. We're just getting something figured out. Mini time out. Nope, I'm good. Now we're back on. I didn't leave. I was just calling it a little time out because I just had to fix something. But I made it so that it wasn't necessarily long enough for a commercial break of sorts. We had them. You know, because it was just a little, you know, fixing something. But we have got that fixed. And so, anyhow, I just wanted to mention to you real quick about what tomorrow is. So tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day. So St. Patrick was a missionary born in what we now call the United Kingdom, Britain, UK. He was born there in like 385. And then he died in 461 AD. So basically he lived to the age of like 75. The day of St. Patrick's Day, which is tomorrow, is the day of his death. For some people, the like President's Day, what have you, is based on the Monday closest to their birth, not the date of their death. But with him, it's reversed. Also, he was a Christian missionary. That's what St. Patrick was. He was a Christian missionary. He celebrated in the Lutheran Church, the Catholic Church. He is, that's what he was. Originally, he was not a Christian. He was enslaved for 60 years. For 6 years, he was in captivity. And he found God. He gave his life to Christ in the middle of that captivity. He heard a voice saying that he would be home soon. And then at the age of 22, he went back to his family. Later, he was not welcome, so he ended up going somewhere a little more north. And he baptized thousands of people. Thousands of people were water baptized through his ministry. And he was a powerful Christian. Today, his life is celebrated. You know, St. Patrick's Day is celebrated throughout the world on the 17th and the days near it. With parades, with certain services in the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, eating green food, and drinking green beer. In this country, the 17th of, and also wearing shamrocks, in this country, the 17th of March is considered one of the biggest bar days, one of the biggest alcohol days in America, along with New Year's Eve and the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And you have to wonder, why is it in this country that that St. Patrick's Day, which celebrates the life of a Christian, why is it the biggest, one of the biggest days in America for the consumption of alcohol? Why is that? And so, if St. Patrick was alive today, he'd be like, why are all you people doing this today, on my day? Why are you people doing this? And so, like I said, they have all those parades, they have all those different things, you know, and the different Irish songs that they may sing and what have you. But I think part of it might just be their idea of let's have a party. Also, people wear leprechauns, and of course, who can forget the pinch that that comes from not wearing green on St. Patrick's Day. Yes, I had to mention that briefly. Not like someone told me but I chose to, nonetheless. But St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow, and so whatever you're doing on St. Patrick's Day, if you do anything for it at all, keep in mind he was a Christian. And so he was a missionary. He helped a whole lot of people. And, of course, Jesus told us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He went out there and he did that. And like I said, he was a great Christian leader. In his later years, he was a bishop, which is a high honor to have. And so, that was something that was just, I just figured I would mention that, being that St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow. Now, some people may wait to celebrate it until the weekend, but many others will just have it tomorrow. Now, in Bay City, they have the big And Bay City is sitting near where I live. They have a big St. Patrick's Day parade basically every year on the third Sunday of March. I say basically every year because the last 2 years they haven't had it due to COVID. But this year it's back on, thankfully. And because I have missed it. But obviously there will be lots and lots and lots of people there. And the weather is supposed to be nice. I believe the most people they ever had there might have been in 2012 when it was in the 70s. I remember that one. I was at that one. Sorry about that. I was just checking time real quick. So there is that history about St. Patrick as well as the day thereof, because it was first recognized in the 1700s that that was the day. And so ever since then, it's also a celebration of the Irish, of Ireland. And so obviously it's even bigger there than what it is here in the U.S., other places. All right. I do want to mention to you that in a few weeks here, Easter will be on the 17th, so a month from tomorrow, starting basically just after the 1st. I'll start teaching some on Easter. I'll be going through all of the four different accounts that were given, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, about Easter and what happened there with him dying on the cross and him going up into heaven and all those things. And it'll just be a great thing. So I just wanted to let you know that that will be coming up. Because the truth is, he's not in the grave anymore. He's risen. Indeed. So as, when the time gets closer, we will be dealing with that. So that's just to kind of give you an idea. For tonight, I want to teach on the blind man from John 9 and what on earth happened there. And what you'll note is sometimes you're given instructions to follow for your miracle. Sometimes you're given certain instructions. That you must follow. And so we'll be dealing with that. I was going to go to John 8 tonight, but, you know, I'm just going kind of chronological order, but then I just felt in my spirit that I was going to let you just do John 9 tonight and talk about that miracle. And it's actually a really great story what happened, because Jesus goes into in depth with them. And the account that John gives goes real in depth what all happened there. And so that's just to give you a heads up of on what's to come. And then I do have, at the end, I am going to talk briefly about the March Madness, as those games are starting up this weekend. Yay! I wasn't trying to do like a fake yay or anything like that, but I mean it. I'm actually excited this year because 2020 we didn't have it. Last year, it was so much harder for me to listen to games last year without fans in the stands. It was so much harder because I didn't know, because it was like sometimes you didn't know whether or not they'd use fake noise. But now I'm back to watching and listening again, and it makes it so much easier when they actually have people in the stands compared to when they don't have people in the stands and it's just super quiet. All right. So that's just kind of letting you know how the show is going to go. Of course, we are going to sing a couple of songs first. And we'll get into the word of the Lord, and then we'll have a little bit of a sports discussion. Now, I want to remind you of the two things real quick that we usually mention. First of all, I want to mention to you the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and the miracles that God has done. You also get part of my mom's testimony in there with it. Like we said last night, in a way, it's kind of a two-for-one. Don't you love it when you get, when you go to the store, you go somewhere else, and it turns out to be a two-for-one? I love that. In this case, that's kind of what you're getting here. It's like a two-for-one type thing. It's like you buy one, you get one. It's a powerful book. And my prayer is that you will read it and that you will just really enhance your walk with God, enhance your faith in God, your faith. Because if you believe in God for something, you got to have faith. And the truth is it takes faith to live. God gives you a certain measure of faith when you get born again, but that measure of faith is quickly used up. It's a starter pack. Sometimes you'll buy something and then you might eventually need other parts or what have you. And it's like, this comes with a starter pack. That's basically what it is. Like when you get saved, mom, you basically get a starter pack. Is that a good way to put it? You're essentially getting a starter pack. But in order to have faith, to get the faith, you need to hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, not reading it. Folks, this is why I read you verses on the word of God, from the word of God, and why I preach to you guys, so that faith can be inserted into your life. Some of you may not go to church. You should. If you're not hearing me and you're not going to church at all, and you're not hearing any preaching of the Word of God from anybody, you're not having faith imparted into you. Like if you say you're a Christian, but you never hear the Word of God, you don't read the Word of God. Maybe you read it, but you don't hear it. then the faith isn't exactly being imparted. It's like trying to drive a car with no oil. Try driving a car with no oil in it. It's going to squeak like a madman. It might screech even worse than your child that's screaming. Obviously, I would try not to ever let it get that far. If it's screeching enough that I can hear it, I'd be like, okay, why is it doing this? Like if it was my car, me driving it. Okay, so go ahead and get the book. Let it be a blessing into you. And why not, while you're doing it, bless someone else. Praise God. The other thing I want to mention to you is sowing your seed into the Miracle Man program. Now, folks, when you sow a seed into the program, you're helping the Word of God go forth to more people. There are hurting people all over. People need to hear the Word of God. You know, they need to hear the message of the gospel. And we have fun in that. We talk about sports, and sometimes they even talk about Coca-Cola and what have you, and stuff that's going on. But it's called the Miracle Man because I believe in God, and I enjoy talking about the Word of God, talking about miracles. Praise God. And when you're sowing into this program, you're sowing into fertile ground. This isn't like the rocky places. No, this is fertile ground. And just helps me keep going. Keep reaching people. And another thing that helps, of course, is if you tell people about the program. Because then we get even more people listening. But I always like when you, like, when I was talking about sowing seed, I always like to bring a Bible verse when I mention it. My God is able to make all grace abound to you through good works. Another verse that comes to mind is, my God shall supply all of your needs according to the price of gas, gold. According to the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Wait. I'm sorry, folks. It said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Not all this other stuff, these other volatile things like the price of gas, the price of oil, gold, stocks, bonds, your savings, like these people who might try to check their 401k every 5 minutes. I'm not saying you do that. Some people might, I don't know. But God supplies all needs according to his riches and glory. Not according to those things, not according to those variables. Because we all know they do vary over time through the events and what have you. And the economy of God doesn't go up and down. It's not like, God, are you there for me? God, are you there? Are you going to help? Well, it's really tight right now. Nope. That's not how God works. But you see, when you sow your seed, that opens the door so you can be blessed. Also, you have to speak forth the blessings and be specific. What do you want from the Lord? You know, are you believing him for a healing? Are you believing him for? And that's a great time to be specific and not just say, I'll just take whatever I can get. But because God wants us to have the desires of our heart. And you might say, well, I want the latest and greatest John Deere. Oh, excuse me, Harley Davidson motorcycle. Well, then, you know, as long as it's not going to hurt your relationship with God, if you confess to him and you confess that stuff forth, and you believe God, then praise God. I was just mentioning the motorcycle thing because my brother wants a motorcycle. And I honestly do not know what my mom thinks about that. Okay, I kind of do know, but I'm just kind of saying. And I'm like, it's cool. She wants it. I've been on a motorcycle ride before, and I thought it was kind of cool. But to each their own. So you go online, in order to sow a seed, you go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, type in River Shukla, which is my name. Again, that is R-Y-V-E-R-S. And the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. I want you to please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. There is a space in between them. So I really want you to keep that in mind. There's a space between. Also, I want you to keep in mind that there is that the first R in Rivers and the S in Shukla are both capitalized. So that's just something to note for you, in case you're wondering. All right. So now we're going to a couple of songs, and then we're gonna go into the Word of the Lord. You can have my yes, no exception. Whatever's coming next, no, I'm giving you my yes. I'm giving you my fear of never knowing. Whatever's coming next, I know you've got me. I'm giving you my yes. You're the light, you're the lamp, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. I'm giving you my dreams, my envisions. I'll answer when you ask. And even in the fire, I know you've got me. I'm giving you my yes again. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I'll leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. Running to the light. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. You're the lamp. You're the lamp. You're the light. You're the cloud that guides me. You're the way. You're the truth. You're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I leave it all behind. Yeah. You're the way. You're the lamp, you're the cloud, you're the light, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I'll leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. I'm running to the light. You're the lamp, you're the light, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. You're the lamp, you're the light, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the light inside me. You conquered my fear, so I leave it all behind. I'm running through the light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make you whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. You're the God. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. the God who was and is to come, the power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. You're the God who was and is to come. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 You are a miracle-working God. Thank you, Lord God. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. It crumbles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Age to age. Age to age he stands. Time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. The God of three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great. How great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Is the name. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. How great is the name above all names, worthy of all praise. Now my heart will sing, how great is our God. Then sings my soul. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. You are so great. You are so mighty. You are so marvelous. Thank you, Lord God, for everything you're doing, everything you've done in us, through us. You parted the Red Sea. You made a way for those Israelites to cross that Red Sea on dry land. And I thank you, Lord God, that as you help us, you stand in the way of the enemy that tries to come upon us. Thank you, Lord God, that you are blessing us tonight. Wherever we are, whether we're in our homes, whether we're driving home from work, out doing errands, or maybe one of those people on spring break somewhere at a beach in Florida or somewhere. Wherever we are, Lord God, I thank you that you just meet us where we are. Now, Lord God, I thank you, Master. But you are the God. Great is your name, Jesus. Great are you, and greatly to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that we have worshiped you. We've praised you for what you've done. We've worshiped you, making mention of what you are, mention of what you do for us. And I just thank you, Lord God, for these holy scriptures that we are about to read, that I am about to teach on. Thank you, Lord God, that you're using me tonight to deliver this message. Thank you that these people have ears to hear and a mind ready to understand. And that these people will be focused, not distracted by all these other things. Thank you, Master, that all of these people, that you meet all the needs of these people who are tuned in tonight. Whatever it is that they have need of, whether it's a healing of their body, they need help with their mind, whether it's something with their job, something with whatever it is, I thank you that you meet their needs right now, right wherever they are right now. And they give you praise and honor and glory for all of that right here, right now, in your mighty and matchless name. Now, Master, I thank you for, I make my confession over this program. I confess, Master, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program, in Jesus' matchless name. Let's make our Bible confession, because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. This is my Bible. I am what the Word says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a history book to me. It is more than a religious book to me. And it is more than a storybook to me. Tonight I will be taught the Word of God. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Tonight I am a believer, therefore I am a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Now I want to encourage you, whatever I do for the next little bit, you do. As I study, you study with me. If I pray, you pray. I shout, you shout. I clap, you clap. Whatever. Just don't just sit there and watch. Be a participator wherever you are. Because that is how you're going to get the most out of this. And so this, go ahead with me, listeners. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 9. Amen. The book of John, chapter 9, and I want to begin reading in verse 1. As I said, we're going to talk about the healing of this blind man. That's in chapter 9 of the book of John. So I'm in John chapter 9, verse 1, NIV. I will begin reading. If you're not to John 9, 1 by now, then you should go to New Convert School. I had to laugh. I wouldn't want to find out that some of your listeners are like, what? He told us I was going to New Convert School? Just because I wouldn't find a certain book in the Bible? No, I'm just messing with you. Got to be able to see the funny side of things. You have to. Amen. John 9, 1. As Jesus went along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents have sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Pause. Jesus is not saying that he caused the man to be blind. You say, well, Miracle Man, why do you bring this up right now? Well, the reason for that is you need to realize that it is not God that puts infirmity upon you. It is not God that does that. And people might read, some people who don't understand everything about Jesus, they might read that verse and think, oh, Jesus wanted to make an example out of him, so he caused him to be blind. No. That's not what that meant. He said, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Verse 4. I'll pause. Verse 4. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me, God. And he said, night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and he put the mud on the man's eyes. Go, he told the man. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, whose word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit here and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. Then how were your eyes open? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and to wash. So I went and washed. And now I see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. Oh, but what do we have here? Oh, that's right. Oh, because there was a miracle done, there had to be Pharisees here. Uh-oh. Find out. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What do you have to say about him? In other words, they were like, well, what say you? not to steal from Bill O'Reilly, but Bill O'Reilly, he would take callers on his radio show, and all these people would call in, and I used to listen to it on WSGW back almost 20 years ago, and he used to say, like, well, Bill from Toledo, Ohio, you're on the O'Reilly Factor. What say you? Okay, enough of that rabbit trail. The only reason I mentioned that because he was like, what have you to say about him? He was like, what do you say? What say you? What have you to say about him? And they're saying, well, it was your eyes that he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the mines, for the man's parents, excuse me, not the mines, the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see. We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know that he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. In other words, he's old enough. He's old enough to answer. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. And that was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, did he do to you? And how did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we do not even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You do not know where he comes from. Yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this he replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Now Jesus talks about spiritual blindness. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is talking with you right now. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, What? Are we blind too? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. So, folks, so what you see here is this man who was born blind. A certain man was born blind. the disciples asked him the question of, they were like, well, Jesus, who sinned that he was born blind? Was it the man or his parents? And then Jesus tells them the answer, that it was done so that the work of God would be displayed in his life. Like I said a few minutes ago, though, Jesus didn't do that to, quote-unquote, make an example out of him. It wasn't like Jesus made him blind. No, he didn't. Because it's not God who makes us sick. God doesn't put disabilities on us. He doesn't put infirmity on us. He doesn't put other sicknesses and disease upon us. Name a disease. He didn't put it on you. He didn't put it there. And so then they gave him an instruction. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He goes to the pool and he washes. His eyes could see. He followed. Jesus gave him an instruction to follow. Just like what happened with Naaman, he was given an instruction by God to follow so he could be healed. And that was to go and wash in the river 7 times. He told him to go wash in the river 7 times. 7 times. Now, quite a few years ago now, about 15 or so, I was at an event in Grand Rapids here in Michigan with some known preachers, Todd Bentley and others. And I was at this event, and some people put some water, mud stuff on my eyes. We went, washed it off later. And I don't think God told them to do that. That was just their idea. Don't you agree, Mom? That was just their idea.
Yes, and Dad said no more.
And my dad went as far as to say, no more of this. He's like, okay, no more. But because I had remembered years later that that had happened. And because I was this 18-year-old kid, and then they put the stuff on my eyes, and I knew, of course, that that was based on the book of John. Like, because I can see why maybe they thought, you know, this might, you know, and then some of these people, you know, that were there, they prayed for me and they said, his vision will come back in the name of Jesus. And I've had hands laid on me multiple times. Even at Invasion, I've had hands laid on me by youth groups. By youth groups. Yeah. By youth leaders. So he just, you see, so this man was told, you know, do this. He does it. He comes back home and you can see, he comes back and all those disciples are there. There's a crowd of people there, and they're in the synagogue, and everyone's there, and they're all like, and all these certain people are like, well, what happened? He tells them, and then he says, this guy that they call Jesus, at that point, he doesn't realize that Jesus is the Messiah. or that he is the Son of Man. Later, it's revealed to him. And Jesus tells him right there. But he's being interviewed by all these people, including the Pharisees. So the Pharisees had to investigate the healing because it was done on a Sabbath. And so often when there were healings that took place, very often it was the Pharisees had something to say about it. And normally they were quite critical of it. They did not like Jesus very well at all. They did not like that he was curing people of disease. They did not like that people were being freed of demons, that they were being freed of addictions, that they were being freed from things. They did not like that. And so he was telling them all these things, and he explained, you know, well, I was blind. Now I can see all of you. And then people were asking his parents, too. Some of the disciples were asking his parents. And his parents are like, well, he can speak to himself, for himself. He's of age. He's old enough. Why not go ask him? Part of why they said that was because they didn't know either. Obviously, they knew he knew more than what they did about it. Because, after all, it was his eyes that were open, not theirs. His eyes. He was the one who had been blind. And so all those people that were there asking all these questions, yeah, there were some people there cheering and clapping and shouting and so excited, you know, about the miracle that had been done. But others were just asking all these questions, and they're like, well, how did this happen? And then it goes so far that the Jews end up throwing the man out. Then Jesus goes and finds him, and he asks him, you know, the man asks Jesus, well, who's the Son of Man? But Jesus tells him, you know what? You're speaking with the Son of Man right now. You've seen him, and he's talking to you right now. Because obviously that man wanted to see the Son of Man. And that's so cool. That is so cool that he had was able to see the Son of Man right there. Because, of course, Jesus was the Son of Man, walking upon the earth at the time, doing all those miracles, including healing that man's eyes. And I love that that is the story, one of the stories that I know of in the Bible, that gives that kind, that level of explanation. Because they were discussing it for like over 30 verses. One of the most in-depth miracles that I know is as far as the scope that it was covered. Wouldn't you agree? I don't know of any other miracles that were covered with that kind of scope, that kind of, like, total in-depth coverage. And I'm sure there was might have possibly been even more behind it. I'm sure Jesus was talking to Pharisees and that about many of these other miracles, but I'm sure some of that wasn't necessarily put in there. But this was. And you see, and those of you who are new, for the show and haven't listened to anything like this before. I am not making this stuff up. The Bible is not some made-up book. It's not a fairy tale. It is the written word of God. All Scripture is inspired by Him. All Scripture is inspired by Him. If it wasn't inspired by Him, it wouldn't have been in there. Inspired by Him. John wrote it. That's why it's called John. The book of John in particular, I'm not. John wrote it. But, so, and then Jesus goes into this thing about spiritual blindness. And these Pharisees are like, well, are we blind too? Well, they were spiritually blind, you see. And so, and he made that statement of, you know, those who are blind will see, those who see will become blind. But that doesn't mean, he didn't mean like all of you who can now see will all become blind. That's not what he meant by that. But there was something behind it. And I believe that for me, that it is the will of God for me to see. Now I, in my own life, I could see for the first 3 months of my life. But then I had a disease called amaurosis, which is a disease in the eye, and that took away my eyesight. At the time, I was also dealing with seizures and other things. Thankfully, I got healed from those. Because there's people who might have these seizures at a very young age and might have them for years. But thankfully, I don't have them. I'm so glad that I don't have them. But because some people do. But I'm not one of those. Was healed and delivered from those. And if you're having them, may you be healed from those. And so I could see for the first 3 months of my life. Now, 32 years later now, I am believing Jesus for that manifestation to take place in my eyes, for that sight to be restored, just as it was before. I still believe that He will, even better than it was before. Because God doesn't just want to put it back. He wants to make it back better. You see, that's the real build back better. That's the real build back better, not this other stuff. That's the real build back better. Make back better. Restore better. Yes. Jesus. Who restores. And I just know for a fact that I am going to see that. And, well, even if tonight, let's say if Jesus came tonight and maybe I didn't get to see on earth, well, obviously, there's no blindness in heaven, so I'll get to see there, and I'll be able to see all these people. Now, first, I'm believing that on earth, and I always claim I'll be in places, you know, or at certain places, and we'll be seeing certain magnificent things, whether we're driving or in somewhere or whatever, someplace that's really magnificently beautiful and what have you, and my mom will say, in the name of Jesus, you will see all of this. I find myself saying the same thing. In the name of Jesus, I will see all of this. Amen. Whether you're talking about the ocean in Florida or wherever, these mountains, the sun, the moon, all these different things. And I always believe God, and I always claim that I will receive my sight a manifestation thereof in my own eyes. And that it will show up in my mind and I will be able to see it. Rather than just have this idea of what it might look like. But, and so, I love the way Jesus just dealt with the whole thing. And all these people were asking all these questions all around them, like, and some of them were wanting to know, well, is he the man who you, and didn't you used to sit here and beg? And other people were like, well, maybe he is. Some were like, well, it's him. Others were like, well, we don't think it's him. We think he just looks like him. Turned out it was him because he used to sit there and beg. He used to just sit outside that synagogue and beg. And so and people were just questioning it, like, unsure. And then another one were like, well, look at this man who used to be blind, and he is blind no more. He was blind, now he can see. That's where we get that part of amazing grace from, is from that right there. Where it says, I was blind, and now I see. And some people can be, and for those who are spiritually blind, I claim that, I pray that your spiritual, those spiritual blinders will be taken off of your spiritual eyes. And you'll be able to see and understand these things. Because these Pharisees, they were spiritually blind, weren't they? So they could see fine with their regular eyes. They were spiritually blind because they're like, what? Are we blind too? And sure enough, they were. And because some people will hear certain things and they make like that what noise that they, and when they make that noise, that kind of means they're shocked, right? Like, why would he say that? Because obviously, the fact that he said that to them and they're like, are we blind too? That basically means we know they were, right? They were.
Amen. They were
spiritually blind. I would say totally. Like, not like, oh, they have a little bit in their right eye or maybe a little bit of vision in their left eye. Because I've heard of people like who are considered legally blind, and I was at a couple of these camps for blind kids when I was younger. And then there was a few kids, some of them were totally blind, others of them were blind in one eye, had some vision in another eye. But these Pharisees, you see, they were completely spiritually blind. No vision in their spiritual eyes whatsoever. And they're like, and then, that's why I pray for those of you who, for whatever reason, are just spiritually blind, that God would take the blinders off. Because not only does he want those who are naturally blind to see, he wants those who are spiritually blind, or even if they're just so spiritually dull, he wants them to be able to understand and to be able to see. And that was one of my favorite miracle stories in the entire Bible, of Jesus and those disciples, and not just that interviews. Because you see, there was those various interviews that took place, and I'm sure if they had CNN in that day, MSDNC, Fox, ABC, CBS, some of them would have been there and asking questions, maybe, and. But who knows now? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I pray that any of these people who are listening who maybe before didn't believe in miracles, they didn't believe that Jesus could deliver them, free them, heal their bodies, their minds, that they will now see that he can, and he will, for those who ask, for those who believe, for those who follow the instructions. As you have given that man an instruction, Lord, to go to that pool, wash the mud off the eyes. He did that, and then he could see. And I pray that if we're given instruction on what to do, you give us an instruction on what to do, that we will follow it. The way you ask it, without grumbling, that we'll just obey. And I pray that we would just thank you, Lord God, for your healing power, your delivering power, your freeing power in our lives. Because we know that you are the miracle worker, the God of miracles, the way maker. And because that, Lord God, is who you are. That is what you are. That's who you will be. That's how you who you have been. Because we know that you will never let us down. You haven't let me down yet, and I know, Lord Jesus, you're not going to either. Oh, and I thank you, Lord God, for that in Jesus' matchless name. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now for sports. Major League Baseball will soon begin spring training in a couple weeks. Spring training has been shortened due to the lockout, and the regular season will begin on April 7th for some teams and April 8th for others. Example, the Tigers, their opening day will be on April 8th at Comerica Park. And for the vast majority of these stadiums, they will be allowed to be at full capacity. And so hopefully the Tigers can be better this year, as they were 77 and 85, which was a bump up from where they had been the previous few years. So hopefully they can be over 500 this year. That's my hope. We'll have to wait and see. Now, the big dance, March Madness, the main part, the regular group of 64 starts tomorrow. 12:15, you have Michigan, 11th seed, taking on a 6th seed, Colorado State. My prediction. Winning again, 67. My prediction, winning again, 67. Color me red. 61. Try to come up with a name for Colorado State, but I don't know. Because when I think of Colorado, what kind of comes to mind is color and Rado. For whatever reason, to me, almost sounds like red. So that's kind of why I came up with that. Michigan State. They play a team from out west, in South Carolina, of all places. Michigan State is a 7th seed. My prediction is that Michigan State will win their game. I remember recently you had a certain year where at one point Michigan and Michigan State were both ranked very high in America. This year, you saw them both end up sort of near the middle of the pack. Michigan State, basically near the center, was a 7th seed. And then you have Michigan as an 11 seed. Like if there's four tiers. Like if you had four tiers, you would have Michigan would basically be a third tier. And then State would be just past the middle of the second tier. Like near the back of the second tier. More or less. Because if the four groups of seeds were divided into four tiers, you know. I do expect you will see some other upsets besides just the Michigan game. And I will be back with you Monday night. We will talk about probably about how the tournament went. If there were big upsets between Thursday and Friday and then Saturday and Sunday, we'll talk about what they were. All right. I speak Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. You have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver will come near us this weekend. We will be safe and sound and be a powerful witness for you, my Lord Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
I sure love you. Listeners, praise God. Until next time. God first, God always. So long, everybody.